I failed to mention this earlier in our announcements. We do have a nursery for three and under provided during our morning worship service. If you need it, it's straight through this hall where Susan's coming out. Model it. There you go. Point the direction like the price is right. The door behind this door. Straight back is the nursery. So please feel free if you need to utilize that resource. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. There we go. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I want to first say Happy New Year. Honestly, 2017. Y'all remember when they thought it was all going to go dark? Y2K, we 17 years in, the light's still burning. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. That's right after the book of Proverbs. It's a little, if you turn right, if you find the Psalms, middle part of the Bible, and you turn to the right through Proverbs, you'll find Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Once I begin reading this, you will have heard this passage. More than likely, you will have heard this or heard phrases of this passage. Starting in verse 1. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I've seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. Let us pray. Father, Lord, I come to you, God, with praise and thanksgiving, God. I thank you for this day, God. I thank you, Father, Lord, for this new year. Thank you for all the Christmas season that we've came through, Father. And Lord, I just rejoice that you sent your Son in a manger to ultimately lead to a cross to die for my sins. And Lord, I pray right now, Father God, that we would never lose sight of that. And Father, I thank you, God, that you have allowed these people to gather in your name. And I thank you, God, that your promise said that where two or three gather in your name, Lord, I ain't very good at math, but there's more than two or three here. And God, I know that you're here. And I thank you, God, that you said you would never leave nor forsake us. And God, before we get too caught up in just having church service, God, I pray, God, that we would just let you speak to us. That you would let us encounter you and your holiness. And Father, I pray right now, God, Lord, that you would just lead me and guide me, Father God. And Lord, I thank you, God, that your word will go forth and will accomplish that what you purpose, because your word will not go out and return void. God, I give you praise for this. I thank you, God, for the hearts that you're changing today in this service, God. And I thank you, Father God, for the lives that are being transformed by the power of your Spirit and by the power of your Word. God, it's not about me or anybody else, but it's about you, the God that dwells among us. and in us, God, Emmanuel. God, I pray right now, God, that you just speak through your servant this morning. Let me stay broken and only speak when spoken through. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Happy New Year. You know, I love New Year's Day. It's not because you get to eat greens, and you can have all the greens you want, to be honest with you. I mean, I'll eat a little bit of them, but black-eyed peas. Now, you give me some cornbread and some greens, and we make something happen. But I love New Year's Day just simply because it's the beginning of a new year, brings a season of personal reflection. It really does. How many of you last night, if you stayed up to watch the ball drop or stayed up until your eyelids dropped or whatever you did to celebrate, I've come to realize it will be the next year, Lord willing, if I go to sleep or not. Amen. But how many of you stopped and thought, the thought crossed your mind, 2017. You know, it's funny to me, I watch older movies like Back to the Future, and you see these flying cars and stuff, and that was supposed to happen like 7 years ago, or 17 years ago, and we're still struggling to get 40 miles a gallon. But it's a time of, you begin to think about things, and you begin to think about, you know, I'm another year older. I'm further down the line. You're one day closer, 1 year closer to the coming of Christ. Where have you been? Where will you be heading? That's what we think a lot of times around, especially around New Year's Day and birthdays and things like that. And often this time of personal reflection results in New Year's resolutions. I'll go ahead and tell you, I'm probably not going to lose weight in 2017. I probably ain't. If I lose it, I'll get it right back. Family night, that's all I got to say. It happens every month. The first service back after the break, we ate. So I'm probably not going to lose weight. But do you have them? Have you set any resolutions? Have you said, you know, I want to do this more? Maybe it's, I want to read the Bible through in a year. Maybe it's, I want to be more active in church. Maybe you want to lose weight. That's a good goal to have. Eat healthier. Do these different things. Either way, if you've made resolutions or not, I have one that everyone in this sanctuary needs to make for the upcoming year. Rejoice and make the most of the time you're given. Amen. Can I get an amen out of that? That's the only point. That is the only point. I'm going to have different things to back this up, and we're going to talk about this, but that's what I want you to leave here with today. Rejoice and make the most of the time you're given. You know, this is not in my sermon notes, but I remember when I was 17 years old, one of my friend's father set us down, and he told us how ignorant we were. We had the world figured out. We were in a heavy metal band. I had hair down to my shoulders, and it was shaved underneath. I wore a dog collar and Black Sabbath t-shirts, ripped up jeans. I'll bring pictures to prove it. Yes, they're out there. We were going to be some big stars. And he told us, he said, basically, you don't know nothing. I'm giving you the church version, okay? He sat us down and said, you don't know anything. Before you know it, he said, you're 17 now, and I can't remember how old he was. He was probably in his 40s. He said, it just seems like yesterday I was 17 years old, and I closed my eyes, and I woke up, and now I'm 40 years old. Rejoice and make the most of the time that you're given. You say, well, I've wasted a whole lot of time on my past. We're not talking, this is a new year. This is a blank slate. It's a new page, and you can write whatever you want to on it by the grace of God. And you can rejoice and make the most of every single minute that you have. Today, I hope that you gain insights from God's Word that will aid you in helping you to keep this resolution of rejoicing and making the most of your time. You can have all the resources, but your time is the most valuable, because once it's spent, you can never get it again. You never can go back and say, hey, I need some more time and get it back. Rejoice and make the most of the time you're given. Benjamin Franklin said it this way. He says, "Dost thou love life?" He says, "Then do not squander time, for it is the stuff life is made of." There was a 90s musician in the 90s. He had a saying about time. And he said, time is a piece of wax falling on a termite who's choking on the splinters. That has nothing to do with what I'm preaching about this morning. The reason why I put that in is I told my wife I would. I said, I'm going to incorporate Beck's lyrics in my sermon. And she said I wouldn't do it, so I did it. And it's recorded and it's proven. There. But in this passage, y'all can laugh, okay? Y'all must have stayed up late last night. I figured I'd get a little bit of laugh out of that, you know. But to just give you some background on what we're talking about in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, Solomon was the one that wrote this book, and he was a man of great God-given wisdom. Matter of fact, God said, he said, ask anything you want, and he said, I want wisdom to lead your people. And God said, because you've asked for this and not riches and all these things, I'm going to give you. And the Bible says that Solomon was the most wise man on earth. You know, he was driven on a lifelong quest for knowledge and understanding. Read through the book of Proverbs. A lot of that was written by Solomon. However, Solomon did not know it all. Some things about life even stumped Solomon. But he still pursued wisdom. The book of Ecclesiastes could be categorized as Solomon's philosophical wanderings about how life is. And he, at the very end, he concludes the matter. And I'm going to read this in chapter 12, verse 13. You can mark it in your notes, or you can turn there and look. It says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. The whole book of Ecclesiastes, he's talked about all these things. He said, let us hear the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. You know, people say, well, what's life about? Fear God and to keep His commandments. Solomon's already answered that for you. He's already answered that. And I want you to keep that in the back of your mind as we're talking about, and remember how we are to keep this resolution of rejoicing and making the most of our time. You know, you only get one chance around this world. You know, the only regret, and people say, man, you got saved. You know, the only regret that I have is not serving the Lord sooner. And I began to serve the Lord at 19 years of age. I wished I would have been like my son. I look at him and I say, man, he's serving the Lord. He shares his faith. He goes and it's just amazing to me. And I wish, just imagine how far along he will be. Some of you have kids that way too. I just wish I could have started serving the Lord sooner. I wasted so much time. And some of you maybe say, well, man, I'm not even serving the Lord now. And I've wasted so much time. Forget about that. Forget what's behind. And press forward and pursue Christ. Rejoice and make the most of the time that you're given from this day forward. See, the devil will let you just stay in regret and regret everything you've done. Let me tell you, he can paralyze you that way, and you'll never move forward. Living in the past. Now, in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 12, Solomon is sharing his wisdom about the seasonal events of life and God's providential purposes for each one of them. Now, let's get into the Word together, and we'll witness some facts that will make it easier for us to rejoice and make the most of our time. I want to ask this question before we go any further. How many of you knew that you would be here today? I'm talking about at this point in your life, at this stage in your life, 10 years ago. You didn't, did you? What about, did you know yesterday where you'd be today? Well, you thought you knew, but you really don't know, do you? We don't know. And you know, whether you are on the top of the mountain or in the valley or somewhere in between, my friend, let me tell you something. God is in control. And you can rejoice and make the most of your time. The very first thing, I want you to look in verse 1. Of chapter 3, it says, to everything, look to your neighbor, say everything, there is a season. Everything has a season. Everything has a season. Some of you are talking about, yeah, deer season, squirrel season, dove season. Okay, everything has a season. You know, whether you're on top of the mountain or in the valley or somewhere in between, you are facing a season in your life. But I want to let you know something. It is a season, and life is always changing. You know, to be honest, I'm experiencing one of the most challenging seasons in my life at this moment. It's one of the most rewarding seasons, but most challenging. I call it parenthood. Parenting. Raising youngins. And I understand, I heard a joke not too long ago that a man said, you know what? He said, you know what grandkids are? He said, it's God's way of rewarding you for not killing your own. But everything, you know what though? I know though, and it scares me sometimes. Now, I don't know if it scares me. Sometimes I look forward and say, One day you'll be out of my house. They'll come back and bring more. But what I'm saying, though, it is a season. And you know what I realized? And I noticed with Lila, because she's the second one, and Lord knows the last. And I've noticed things with her because I realized that, you know, this is the last one. And after she's grown, after Jackson and Lila's gone, I mean, we're on another season in our life. Some of you have already experienced. Some of you are thinking, Lord, I need to, there is a time that my youngins won't be driving me crazy, maybe. But he goes on, and if you notice, well, you think a lot about time, this time of year. And I just think about how much time is in our vocabulary. What time do you get up, or what time is church, or what time, how much time, how long is the meeting going to last, when's it going, what time is the meeting end, what time is the meeting begin? All these different things, and it's so much, it's not worth your time. I want to let you know that life is seasonal, and that should make you rejoice. You say, wait a minute, what if it's a season of I'm in a good season and the next season is going to be a bad season or a tough season? Rejoice anyway, because guess what? That's only a season also. Amen? See, he gives 14 comparisons from verses 2 through 8 of time to be born and die, plant and pluck up, kill and heal, break down and build up, weep and laugh. He's contrasting the two. Cast away stones, gather stones together, embrace, refrain from embracing, get and lose, keep and cast away, rend and sow, silence and speak. Now, let me silence and speak. I'm preaching to myself, okay? Love, hate, war, and peace. He's saying, you know what? There's a time for that you're going to go through all those things. There's a time. There's a time for everything has a season. But I wanted to share this. You know, I've realized that most folks, I can say, okay, we're going to do this as a church. And I can just state the fact. And if people don't know why or know the purpose behind it, they ain't going to get on board. But as soon as you show them the purpose and the reason behind doing this, they're like, hey, I see that. Let's do it. I want to share something. Not only is life, the very first thing, life is seasonal, and that, you need to realize that you may be going, you may be weeping right now, but the Bible says joy comes in the morning. You know, a lot of times we have this fake plastic Christianity that we've put on our suits and we put on our ties and we come to church and we just smile when we don't feel like smiling. And we feel like we're letting God down when we say, you know what, God, I just don't feel good today. And I just don't, you know, I don't feel like worshiping today. Let me tell you, there's going to be times in your life that away. But let me tell you, joy comes in the morning. It's seasonal. It came to pass. Just Google that, how many times that phrase shows up in the Bible. It came to pass. It came to pass. It's constantly changing. The next thing is that it really helps you know, rejoice and make the most of your time, is realizing that these seasons, life is seasonal, but these seasons are purposeful. Do you know what? Notice in the last part of that verse, it says, to everything there's a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Now, as I was reading this, I walked behind my house, or the parsonage. I walked behind the parsonage and I looked and I was walking, and those people probably thought I was crazy because I had my Bible and I was just talking to God, and I was walking around that pond and I was reading it. I said, I'm going to read this passage over and over and over and over. And I would sit there talk. I'd read a verse. I'd talk to God, and He kept bringing me back to this under the heaven. I said, God, you got all these good things. And He kept bringing me back to this one phrase, under the heaven. And I'm like, Lord, what? I don't get what you're trying to say. Under the heaven. Where does God reign? Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are called according to His purpose. Let me tell you something. These seasons that you're going through are purposeful. God is orchestrating something in your life. If you're a believer, He is working all things for your good. And He's shaping you, He's breaking you, He's molding you, and He's using all these seasons in your life to conform you to the image of His Son. It's time for you to quit kicking against the goads, as Paul was doing, and just say, God, what are you trying to show me during this season? What is the purpose? You know, seasons are purposeful, but you know, in verse 11, I picked up on something also. In verse 11, it says, He hath made everything beautiful in His time. Now, that kind of reminds me of Romans 8:28, doesn't it? He has made everything beautiful in His time. You may be going through an ugly situation. Have you ever seen one of them, y'all, the ugly duckling? Y'all remember that story? Little ugly duckling. And actually, it was a swan. Went through an awkward stage. Hey, I went there. I was about 125 and had more acne on my face than, come on now. I went through that awkward stage. Still hadn't quite got out of it. But the thing about it is, you know, He says, He hath made everything beautiful in His time. Also, He hath set the world in their hearts. And some translations say the eternity in their hearts. So that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. Now, what He's saying is, you are not going to understand everything. That's tough for me. Oh, that's tough for me. Is it tough for you? Lord, what you doing? And he may not give you an answer. You may not know until you stand before him and said, you know, all that time you were going through this tough season, you know, or going through this, this is what I was doing. And this, you're going to look back and you're going to say, why didn't I see that? You are not going to understand. And you know what? That takes the burden off of me. So guess what? That lets the burden off my shoulders and gets a little bit of pep in my step, because I know God is working on my behalf and I don't have to understand everything. Remember, remember the phrase, under the heaven. Psalms 115 and 3, it says, but our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Psalms 135 and 6, whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heavens and in earth and in the seas and in all the deep places. How many of you knew when you were going to be born? I want to find out how many liars we got in here. How many of you know when you're going to die? It's above your pay grade, isn't it? How many of you can change when you're supposed to plant tomatoes in South Georgia? Why is it that away? It's because God has ordained it, and he's in the heavens, and he does whatever he pleases. I want to tell you the reason why you can rejoice and make the most of your time. Quit worrying about everything. Quit worrying about the season you're going through, and rejoice. You say, well, I don't feel like it. Paul and Silas probably didn't feel like it after they got beat and threw in a prison. But they just knew it was a season. Amen? They just knew it was a season. It was a dark season at midnight, but they said, you know what? Paul, I feel a little song coming on. And what's amazing is how their praise impacted everybody in that prison. Everybody's chains fell off. See, that's the reason why we have a lot of people bound up in churches, because we got a lot of Christians that are not rejoicing and making the most of their time. They're wallowing around in the mire trying to take care of God's job of orchestrating all the things and knowing the times and the seasons and understanding them, and we're not just simply saying, God, I trust you. God, I trust you. God, I trust you. Isaiah 55 and 9 says, as far as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts. God is in control. You can rejoice in the fact that God loves you. If you are called, if you love God and are called according to his purpose, he is working everything out. It may not be the way you like it, but it's to his glory. Amen. Only thing man is to do, man is not to understand what he's going through. Man is to understand that God has it all. You're not to know it all, but you are to know the one that has it all. Look in verse 1. It says, to everything there's a season, a time, to every purpose under the heaven. And drop down in verse 14, he starts talking about it. He says, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. He goes, and Solomon's talking about it. He said, I see all these times and these seasons in life, and I don't really understand all what's going on. There's a time that you're born, you die, you plant, and you reap, and all these different things. And he goes through all these different comparisons. He said, I just don't really get it. He said, what profit is any of it? Have you ever had that question? What? I mean, here I am. I've shared with you the story of the house we bought in Brox, and it dawned on me that when we moved in that house, when we bought that house, it was furniture. There was plates in the cupboard. There was a lot of stuff. And I got to think, I said, this lady, I never knew her, Amber knew her, but this lady had spent her whole life in this house. This was her possessions, and now a stranger has it. Made me realize how quick and how brief life is. Made me think, I'm just passing through. Let me make the most of my time, and let it not be worried about my job
worried about my career. I want to tell you something. We sung a song, some of the most precious things and valuable things you can't hold in your hands. But some of them you can. For me, one of them's on that second pew, and the other one's back there with his adopted family. But I can hold them, and you know what? It's a season. You may not be in that season, but this really spoke to my heart and said, you know what? I need to really make the most. Like arrows, children are. Wherever you point them, that's where they're going to go. And I said, I need to make every effort. And you know what? Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I get caught up in all the craziness. And then all the craziness steals my joy. And I start mully grubbing. And y'all know what mully grubbing is, don't you? Y'all from West Green, I have it. Complaining and belly aching. You can let your schedule get so full and so all this, and you will forget to rejoice. See, Solomon said, I look at all this stuff, and he said, no, what good does it matter? I mean, you build up. Here's a man that had everything that he ever wanted, and he had a big kingdom. And he said, I want to die. What good is all this? But he says this, man is to rejoice and do good. Some of you are complaining about work. Have you ever been there? Anybody ever done that? Just read verse 13 in chapter 3. It says, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. See, man is not to understand it all. Man is to understand that God has it all. Our job is simply to rejoice and do good. Look at verse 12. I know that there is no good in them, talking about the days, but for man to rejoice and to do good in his life. The Bible says in Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. The Bible also states that the footsteps of a righteous man are ordered of God. Do you know what you need to do? You need to rejoice in God. Rejoice that he has control of your life. And guess what? And make the most of every single minute. I mean, you may want to pray. You say, well, I'm too busy. I hadn't had time. Well, you're too busy. If you hadn't had time to spend with God in prayer and Bible study and communion with God, my friend, you are too busy. And God did not make you for that kind of life. Paul wrote, he said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Philippians 4. This is coming from a man that is sitting in a prison cell. And not of his wrongdoing, but because people. But he knew this prison had a purpose. This season in prison had a purpose. Man, he was able to witness to all the imperial guards. And he also said, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And people say, see, I can open this pickle jar. Look, I can do it. Actually, he's talking about being content, and no matter what season, Philippians 4, verses 10 through 13, go read it. He said, whether I've got a lot or I don't have anything at all, I have learned to be content in whatever, you could say it this way, whatever season of life. And he had just said, rejoice. And again, I say, always rejoice. He said, well, Brother Kevin, I don't feel like it. Think about old Joseph. How God worked. He went from the pit to the palace, to the prison, back to Pharaoh. Come on now. And God, he could have been mully grubbing the whole time. I don't know what's going on. But you know what, Joseph? I believe Joseph understood, hey, guess what? It's not my job to question what's going on. All I am to do is just praise you, Lord. Because you know what? Whatever I'm going through, you making me into more like you. We can rejoice and make the most of our time on earth because we know all seasons have a purpose and we can trust that God is in control. I don't know about you, but knowing that God reigns over my life everything. And he didn't just start it either. See, that's where we get it. We say, well, you know, December 16th, I went down to the altar, and God really, you know, he stepped in. I know God's been in your life from the get-go. How many of you have been here without God's permission? He's been in control. Everything you said, well, you know what, I don't understand. And I'm going to tell you, there might be some ugly things happen in your life, but I want to tell you, you could either make you bitter or better. You can either say, you know what, I've been done wrong, and the world owes me. Or you can realize that, guess what, this world is fallen, and bad things happen to good people. And you can say, you know what, I rejoice anyway, because you've given me this life. You know, in closing, sister, would you come? You know, if you're not careful, every single morning, almost every single morning, I write in my prayer journal. And I always like to start out, well, Lord, I just thank you. And it seems sometimes I word it in different ways, but Lord, I just want to thank you for waking me up today. Because you didn't have to. You didn't have to, but you ordained it. And right now, you are at a season. You are at a time. And you say, well, you know what, Brother Kevin, I don't understand. You were talking about getting saved and stuff like that. Let me tell you something. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. See, you may be here and you may not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You may think, well, I just come to church because you know what? In South Georgia, that's what we do, and it's New Year's and we're going to go to church. But let me tell you something. God has been orchestrating it from the very beginning, from the foundations of the earth. From the foundations of the earth, before everything was made, God knew this day was going to happen. He knew that he was going to have, you're going to stand up here and look at this fat, furry-faced preacher. Amen? Talk about times and seasons. But I want to tell you, today is the day of salvation. This could be a start of a brand new season for you. Today. The Bible says that Jesus Christ, I want you to stand. Jesus Christ came as a babe in a manger. And he lived a perfect life, and he died for our sins. Not only did he die, but on the third day he rose again. He is the Son of God. And the Bible says plainly that if you believe that God raised Jesus from the dead and you confess him as Lord, Romans 10 verses 9 and 10, you shall be saved. Go on a few more verses. He said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I can look back at my life before I surrendered my life to Christ, and I can see the handiwork of God. Everything, he was moving me. He was taking people out of my life. He was putting things into my life. He was moving me closer and closer. And I want to tell you, he's doing the same thing today. I still believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. I still believe that he can change lives today. And as soon as I ever stop believing that, take me out of the pulpit, go put a bullet in me and put me in the grave, because I ain't worth nothing. Amen? Because I want to tell you, there's a season, and there's a season of grace. He said, you know what? I'm going to let you walk in your ways, but I'm going to call, and I'm going to call, and I'm going to tell you to come to me through faith in my Son, Jesus Christ. But one day that season's going to be over with. It's going to be past, and you'll be lost forever. These altars are open. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, make today the day. Maybe you just want to come down here and you say, you know what? I know Jesus Christ is my Savior, but I just want to walk a little bit closer. You know what? I had that prayer last night. as I walked around that pond and I held that Bible. I said, God, I said, don't let me get up there and just go through the motions anymore. Don't let me go up there and just preach a sermon, God. God, let me hear your voice. Let me feel your presence. God, I want you. And as if you ever get out of that groove, if you ever get out of that place that you desire in God, then my friend, the altar's where you need to be. You can rejoice and make the most of your time. Why mully grub and complain and waste time? I remember Gregory Pope, I heard him on the radio, and he said this. He said, you know what? He said, I was having a bad day, and I walked outside, and I was about to start complaining about it, and the Spirit stopped him and said, why in the world are you going to waste your energy complaining? Why not stop and praise me? Even your worst day. Your worst day, you still got something to praise Him about. He loves you. Don't waste any time, y'all. Because we ain't got much time left. I don't know, Jesus could come back today or thousands of years from now. I don't know. But I do know this. There's a time to be born and a time to die. Well, I've already been born. Next stop's dying. Amen. That little dash in between on the headstones, that's kind of funny. They have all the dates and everything. That little dash is representative of everything. Your whole life's existence is in a dash. If you need prayer for anything, these altars are open. But I'm not going to belabor, because I think God spoke to His people this morning. He spoke to me. Amen. I want you to grab the person's hand next to you. Smile at them. Smile big. Because you may need them this week. You more than likely are going to need the person to your right or to your left sometime this year. It's a new year. Probably going to need them daily. Need both of them. That's all right. We do life together at West Green Baptist Church. And I want to bless you before you leave. And then I'm going to ask Brother Harry if he would to dismiss us in prayer. The Lord bless thee and keep thee, and the Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. That is my prayer for you, Brother Harry. Would you dismiss us?